Rock Church, what's up, family? How y'all doing this evening? Y'all sounded good for some reason. It must be something about resurrection in the air, amen? All right, welcome if you are our guest, if you are a friend, family. We just want to thank you for joining us this Easter at the Rock Church. We are so thankful that you would be our guest. We hope you love it, and we hope to see you again for the rest of your lives because we're so excited about who Jesus is and what he's done and why he matters to you. So thanks for being our guest. A quick thing, there are some people looking for some seats. So if you got a seat next to you, just assume you're breaking the rules. We want you to squish into your other neighbor and get comfy with them, and that'll free up some spaces at the end so people who are standing could easily see those seats that are available. There's like three seats right over here for Micah, right? Micah doesn't buy it. He's up to date on all of his shots if you want to hang out with Mike. Actually, I'd kind of test. Micah may not have all of his shots. I don't know. Also, we got the bake sale. If you guys remember on your way out, what we would love for you to do is to bless and anoint those kids with your cash money dollars and your Venmo and PayPal money so we can equip those kids to change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So buy some treats, buy some snacks, give them all of your cash money. And then also, we have a photo booth on your way out, so don't forget to take a photo with your family. You look all cute, okay? Please take advantage of the photo booth. All right. So the title of our Easter message this weekend is The Death of Death. Now, I know that is not the most motivating title to grab anyone's attention, but we cannot really talk about Easter without talking about it. And I get it, nobody wants to. It is not the conversation that you have with people when they come over to your house for dinner. It's not what's your favorite ride at Disneyland, what's your favorite topping on pizza, and how are you planning to die? That is not the topic we want to get through. And I get it. It's a scary reality. Much of our anxiety and our fears come from the reality that there is danger. There is death. There's the fear of being harmed. There's the fear of life ending. There's the fear of flying. There's the fear of spider. There's the fear of clowns. These are all real fears people have that are fruits that are sprouting from the reality of death. No matter how much or how little your own mortality is on your mind, it is going to come to every single one of us in this room. And so far, humanity, we have not come up with any sort of game plan or strategy to defeat it. An anonymous author wrote it like this. I'll read it to you. He is the preacher of the old school, but he speaks as boldly as ever. He is not popular, though the world is his parish and he travels over every part of the globe and speaks in every language. He visits the poor, calls upon the rich, and preaches to people of every religion and no religion. And the subject of his sermons is always the same. He is an eloquent preacher and he often stirs the feelings which no other preacher can stir and brings tears to eyes that seldomly weep. His arguments, none are able to refute, nor is there any heart that has remained unmoved by his force and his appeal. He shatters life with his message. Most people hate him. Everyone fears him. His name? Death. Every tombstone is his pulpit. Every newspaper prints his text. And one day, every one of us will be his message. Now, isn't that a thought to open up a message on Easter weekend? Death is real, and it is coming for every single one of you. But there is one who death did not get the last word. There is one who death did not defeat. Death could not hold. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, came into our world, lived a perfect, spotless, sinless life. And history tells us the story of how Jesus Christ was, he was betrayed. He was handed over to be physically beaten and tortured and crucified, killed and buried. Jesus Christ died. He was in the tomb for 3 days, but because he was sinless, because he is Savior, Son of God, he physically could not be held by death. Yes. He rose from the grave, conquering death, rendering it powerless and forever proclaiming that sin and death has lost all of its authority over the lives of everyone who trusts in this risen Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we celebrate on Easter. And if you are born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. That is your shouting moment to testify Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. The tomb is empty, and there is nothing more significant to have ever happened in our world's time and space and history than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our world has been forever changed. Whether you believe this or not, just think, our whole entire world's calendar system is revolved around the life of Jesus Christ. You are right now living in it's April something in the year 2023 AD, Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. That's pretty impressive to change the whole calendar system around someone, amen? If you're pretty impressive and you live a pretty awesome life, if you're lucky, they may name a street after you. Maybe a garden, maybe a library. But your days and your months and your years, the day you were born, the day you die, are wrapped around the reality that Christ came into our world. And today there is more art that is created for Jesus Christ. There are more books that have been written about Jesus, songs wrote and sang and written to about Jesus Christ than anyone ever. And the men and women in this room and millions of other Christians around the world who gather every single week, not just on Easter, it is not to remember the life of a wise man. It is not to mourn the death of a religious leader, but to worship and celebrate the death destroyer, King Jesus, who is alive and reigns today and forevermore, who has ushered in the death of death. Somebody say amen. So today I want to share with you the good news of the resurrected Christ and his power to defeat sin, death, and the devil. This Easter, we're going to look at what exactly is death. That's scary to think about. But how we rightly understand who Jesus is in his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection gives us a right understanding about how we should view death and the power that it holds. Radically different idea of death for the Christian. We're going to unpack that today. Jesus defeating death means for the Christian that when this life is over, this life is not over. And what this means for every one of you today who are our guests, that you would not say Jesus is your Lord and your Savior and your friend and your death defeater. We're going to share with you the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ offers to you this very moment. So I want to take you back to that first Easter Sunday. Matthew chapter 28. You guys know the story. I'm going to read some of it to you, okay? Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." I love how the Gospel of Luke says it. Why do you seek the living among the dead? What are you doing? Jesus isn't dead. This morning, right, when the disciples and the women who were first appearing to the resurrection of Jesus, they were coming to the tomb. You have to remember the setting. They were not coming to the tomb to celebrate. They were coming to mourn. Jesus' death was defeated. They saw his torture and his murder. Their friend Jesus was dead. There is nothing more final than that. But when they arrived, something had happened, and the world has never been the same. He has risen. Those three words changed and altered life as we know it. And these words, they're truly what separate Christianity from every other religion, faith, non-faiths, forever. Jesus Christ really died. Jesus Christ really rose. And he was seen alive by countless eyewitnesses who willingly died for what they saw in the resurrected Jesus Christ. So this first Easter, they came expecting a dead body in a grave, but there was no dead body because Jesus was no longer dead. Christianity stands or falls on this central fact in history that there is no tomb. The tomb is empty. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Did you know that that's one of the most incredible evidences that Christianity has? It's what makes our faith true is actually the lack of something. That's what makes our confession so incredible. We actually lack something. We lack the evidence of a tomb. This has been a problem for every skeptic for 2,000 years, and we have to consider the implications. History tells us that the religious leaders in Jesus' day, the Roman guards, the crowd, King Herod, they all were collaborating to kill Jesus. There were lots of hands in the cookie jar making sure Jesus died and stayed dead. Now listen, if you wanted to destroy every Christian's argument for the rest of our lives, all you have to do is show us a body. Just take us to the tomb and show us the body, and then we will all pack it up, and there would be nobody in this room today if that were true. If you could give us a body, we're done here. But they couldn't. Think about that. We visit people's graves to remember loved ones. Famous people throughout history, they get shrines and memorials in dedication to them. Holy and religious people throughout time are right now dead and buried, and you can visit where they lay today. You can go to Sri Lanka, and you can see the remains of Buddha. I believe they have his tooth there. Saudi Arabia and Medina, you can go and visit the tomb of Muhammad. In India, you can go visit the shrine of Gandhi. In China, you can visit the tomb of Confucius. And even in Graceland, you can visit the gravesite of Elvis Presley. You can go to these tombs and these shrines and these memorials, and you can visit and see where all of these dead bodies right now lay. Because death beat every single one of them. They offer no hope. But death could not defeat Jesus. Again, he is risen. Those three words, he has risen, changes everything, and it separates Christianity from all the rest. Jesus really died. He really rose. Historically, you cannot defeat this. Intellectually, you cannot refute this. And you must give your attention to this. The Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 2, God raised him up, Jesus Christ, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. But death holds every religious leader, spiritual guru that has ever lived and ever will live. Death defeats them all. Death defeated Muhammad and Joseph Smith and Buddha and L. Ron Hubbard and Elvis Presley. All of them defeated. God did not raise one of them up. Every single one of them, not a problem for death. You feeling me? You understand that? Death could not hold Jesus Christ. It was impossible for it to. Can I get an amen from anybody in this room? Did you not hear that death has been defeated, Christian? I don't know if you heard the story about a Savior who came from glory and defeated sin and devil and death for you. Why don't you do me a favor real quick? Why don't you tap your neighbor? I don't know if they heard this. Say, hey, neighbor, I don't know if you heard. But Jesus Christ came and he defeated death. Did they believe you? It'll change your life. Now, death being unable to hold Jesus has some serious implications for us. So I want us to put the resurrection on hold for just a moment because I know we're getting back to it, man. We're getting back to it, but I just want you to think about what death means for us, okay? What is death? Biblically, we have to understand God has spoken. He tells us what is true, what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable, what is unacceptable, okay? Scripture tells us what is truth. And so when God tells us about death, it is the truth. Scripture teaches us that death is a curse. Like Pastor Caleb mentioned last week, death has come into the world through sin. It is a plague that has spread to each and every one of us. Death is the nasty fruit that stems from the tree of sin. And death, additionally, is a wage, meaning it's something that you earned. Again, like Pastor Caleb mentioned last week, it's something by nature, sin, we've inherited. It's in our nature, and it's also something we willingly and unwillingly do. And Scripture teaches because of that, we're actually heaping up a wage. We've earned something against a holy God, and God's going to pay us what we deserve. That wage is death. It is a curse. It is a wage, and it is agony. You guys, I know if you've experienced the loss of a loved one, it hurts. It afflicts us. It stings. It's painful. It's all around us. It haunts our thoughts. It robs us of joy in the moment and the next. And Scripture says death is an enemy, but it also says death is the last enemy to be destroyed. But death is a curse. It is a wage. It is agony. It is an enemy. There's physical, there's spiritual death. Ephesians 2 says, you right now, if you don't know Jesus, you are spiritually dead, malnourished, dehydrated, starved to death, cut off from God. And you are just physically waiting for your life to expire and you will die. Scripture tells us in every way, death is awful, just awful. And Easter is God's solution to our problem. Jesus has come and he has provided the remedy to every one of these things. Death is a curse, okay? But the good news of Christianity is that Jesus Christ became a curse for us. It says in Galatians chapter 3, he redeemed us. He rescued us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. Who would do that? What a savior. Death is a wage. Again, it's what you deserve. Jesus takes the wage off of your plate. He takes the penalty. What you deserve, Christ steps in and says, I will take that on your behalf. Theologians call this the great exchange in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, sinless, spotless, no sin, became sin for us, so that we may become the righteousness of God. So Christ takes our sin, our curse, our agony, our pain, our suffering, the wage, the death that we deserve. He puts it on himself, and he clothes the believer with his righteousness. So now God sees me through the lens of Christ who paid for my sins, and God goes, you are holy and blameless in my sight. Death is agony. Jesus suffers for us. Hundreds of years before Christ was born, we read of this prophetic verse in Scripture that says, he, talking about the Messiah, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's our sin. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Death is the enemy. And Jesus defeats your enemy, the curse, the wage, the agony, the physical and spiritual death. It is your enemy, and Christ Jesus defeats every single one of them. The Apostle Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Death is swallowed up in Christ's victory. Isn't that just so heavy metal? I love that. I wore my death t-shirt for y'all, just... Where is your sting? The power of sin is death. Sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ rose from the grave, there's victory for you. He rescued you from the power of sin and death. Now, if you look at this, this whole series stemmed from this verse I was reading in 2 Timothy a few months ago. Again, such a heavy metal verse, so of course I don't know how I didn't notice this sooner, but listen to this. It has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and it brought life and immortality to light through the gospel Jesus Christ. So destroy this word here in 2 Timothy, the word translates to rendered powerless. It means it's inoperative, right? This is a right view of how Christians should understand death. It has lost its power. It has lost its sting. It has been stripped of its power. It has no bark, or has a big bark, but no bite. I guess that's the right way to say it, right? It reminds me of, do you guys remember The Wizard of Oz? You remember Dorothy and her gang and Toto? They finally make it to the wizard. And they, you know, like, there's that scene, and the wizard's there, right? And the big head and the flame and the smoke. And he's like, come forward. And he's just yelling at them, like, I'm the Great Oz. And it's terrifying. And then Toto runs back and pulls that curtain. And then what do we find but this sad, silly, weak little man who has no power? Death is like the Wizard of Oz, who has been stripped, who looks big and scary and mean, but because Christ has defeated him, he's pulled the curtain. Death is just a little bee sting. Psst, ow! It's bankrupt. It's powerless. So now, why do we still die? The Heidelberg Catechism asks that great question. It says, since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die? Like, if Jesus defeats death, then why do we still die? That's a great question. In the Heidelberg Catechism, it answers a question. It says, death is something that we will all still experience, but it's lost its bite, right? Death, in a way, actually unites us to the life of Jesus, who died and was crushed in our place. So death actually unites us to the death of Christ, which is a whole other sermon. But this is what I love in the Heidelberg. It says, death actually puts an end to our sinning, and it's our entrance into life. So when you see death through the lens of the gospel, just like how we say, how could Good Friday be good? The Christian can equally say, death is actually good. I want you to understand something. This life, as you and I know it, with its sin and its burdens and death and suffering and pains and sorrow, this is not the world God created. This is not living. We are meant to dwell with God. The world is cursed because sin and death has come and ruined everything. And if you have stored treasures up for yourself in this life, thinking that this is the best that it gets, you will have wasted your life. Christ's death, the resurrection, the power over the grave, that is good. That's the treasure. Because it's what brings you home. It's what we call glorification. When this life is over, I am ushered into the presence of Jesus in glory forever, sinless, incorruptible. And for the Christian, we have to understand that. Death is scary, I know, but we should not fear death. Rightly understood, if anything, we should look at death like the Wizard of Oz, but also, it's really just like a door that leads to something better, right? It ushers us into the presence of Jesus. This is why the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And we see that tension, right? That's like, but man, I am hard pressed between the two. I kind of like my life. I don't want to leave the things of this life. And what about my family? Those are real thoughts. Those are real worries. And I understand those. And we all have those. But the Apostle Paul wrestled with those too. But he also says, man, but to depart and be with Christ, that is far better. It's gain. Because it's that moment when the curse has been lifted and the wage and the penalty is no longer pressing on us. Christ paid for it. Now I'm delivered from the effects of sin and the agony. The separation that I have with God was crushed on the cross, and now I'm actually in his presence forever. So for the believer to depart from this life is better. Death is just this interruption to this momentary life that then leads you into the presence of Jesus in glory. It's a door. Death is a door more than anything else. Just as real as that door that you're going to walk out of here on your way out this afternoon, this evening. But just like that door is not the end of your life, so too is it that death is not the end of your story. It's a door. You and I will all walk through it. And on your final day, you will blink and you will close your eyes and you will breathe your last, and that will be your life as you know it now. And then that next moment, you will open your eyes and you will be in the presence of the risen Savior, the death destroyer, Jesus Christ. You will see the great death conqueror as he is. You will see him who put death to death. That is gain. That is gain. Because Jesus Christ lives, so will you. In Revelation chapter 1, it says, fear not, fear not. The Lord loves to say those things to his people. In heaven, he's going to remind you again, fear not. I am the first and the last, and I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. I love that image. They're keys that he holds. I also love this image. Jesus says this about all who trust in Jesus in John chapter 10. He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Think about this image. Keys, right? That's symbolic for authority. When I have the keys, I'm driving. Christ has the keys to death. He says, oh, yeah, death, Hades, yeah, oh, I'm sovereign over all of that. I defeated it. It can't hold me. And then Jesus says, I hold you in my hand, and nothing will separate you from my love. I love that. That's such beautiful truth. Jesus holds the keys to death in one hand and your life, which is eternal, in the other. So my friends, as we close today, if you are our guest, I want you to give your attention to this, because death is attached to every one of your stories. It is coming. If you do not know Jesus in this way as your curse-lifting, sin-bearing, death-destroyer, I encourage you, give your attention to this right now. He is trying to get your attention. You should pay attention. Death is your enemy. Sin is your enemy. The devil is your enemy. They are winning you. You are losing, and you are going to lose in this life and the next. It's called the second death. Jesus is not your enemy. He actually came to rescue you from your enemy. He is the friend of sinners. There is no one more worthy of your time and your allegiance. There is no spiritual leader. There is no living prophet. There is no atheistic philosopher who has or ever will rescue you from the curse of sin and shame and death. They never conquered their own sin and shame and death. How could they help you? They will benefit you in absolutely no way. So if you're hoping in religion, what you got to do, you just got to try and turn your life around. You just got to try and do better. Maybe you can read some self-help books on your way home. Or if you're just hoping that there is no God to face when you expire, listen to me. There's an empty tomb that you have to deal with. And there's a risen Savior who stands outside, and he's speaking to you today to wake you up from your spiritual dead slumber now. He is the author of your life. He knows every detail, every failure, every secret, every shame, and he still says, why don't you come to me and I will give you rest? Jesus Christ is the one who is risen. You want to join him in that. He defeated your sin and your shame and your enemy. You want to join him in that. He has defeated death, and he is alive today. You want to join him in that. It's the greatest news. That's the gospel, that Christ has done everything for us. You think about it. Have you ever watched like a championship? You watch the team win the NBA Finals, and they get on the stage, and everybody's cheering and hooting and hollering. And then there's the dude who rides the bench, didn't play 1 minute, didn't contribute one second to the game. He gets the ring. He gets to hold the trophy. He takes pictures with all of his kids, being like, look what dad did. It's like, dad, you did nothing. That's the gospel. You've done nothing. Christ is victorious. He won. You just get the ring. You got to believe this today, my friend. Christ comes with a cost. It will cost you something. It means you must come to him. It means you die today. What does that mean? It means you come to Christ confessing that you want to turn from everything that's killing you right now. Your sin, your anger, your pride, your false religion. And you turn to your deliverer. Jesus defeated all of your enemies and he is alive. And you can trust in him today. You can run to him. He will meet you. That's the good news of Christianity, that Christ came and he's victorious. And he offers you life. That is good news. I invite you. You come to Jesus. You ask him for these things and he will give them to you. Because there's a day coming soon where Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes and death shall be no more. This is reality. This is what you want. Jesus offers it. There's a day where death shall be no more. Nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. There'll be a moment in your life where those will be the things of the past. Can you imagine that? The sting of death and pain and mourning, crying, that's going away. And on that day, for everyone who trusts in the death destroyer, Christian, you are going to be given back your bodies, just as earthly and physical as ever, but this time incorruptible and eternal. The sickness will be smothered. The cancer will be crushed. Sadness and fear will be the distant memory. Paralyzed limbs will dance and leap. The mentally challenged will be able to think and express themselves clearly. Deaf ears will hear perfectly. Melodies, blind eyes will see delightful colors. The mute will sing. Broken bodies will be raised whole and healed. That is why we confidently say to live is Christ, to die is gain. Death is a blow, but it is not defeat. It is a door that ushers us into life. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Amen. Amen. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We praise you that you are alive and well at this moment and you hear our prayers and you are the God who is able to save and rescue. We thank you for your perfect life and conquering ability over death. By your blood that was poured out to atone for our sins, your body was broken, Jesus, in our place. You became the curse. You took the wage, the penalty, the agony for us, your great love. That's who you are. And so, Lord, we adore you. We thank you for the resurrection. That there is no more separation. There is no longer alienation or condemnation that death brings. It has all been nailed to the cross. And, Lord, we have been paid in full. It is finished. Life everlasting. Because you live, Jesus Christ, we live. Thank you that death could not hold you. Thank you that death has no sting. Jesus Christ, for all of us who trust in you as Savior, we love you. And my friend, if you are in this room right now and this is something you haven't given your attention to, I plead with you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you listen to God. He's speaking to you today. You turn from the junk that is your life and you for once in your life trust in something better. You hand over the keys and let Jesus take over. He will do so much better than you, I promise. He will help you. He will guide you. You can become a Christian today. If you'd love to know more about that, come chat with me. Come talk to my friends on stage. Talk to your neighbor. Say, I want that life. I want to know death has been defeated. We'd love to help you with that. For the rest of us, Jesus, again, we love you. Thank you that you conquered the grave. Thank you that you were coming back and you were returning. And we will have life everlasting. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Why don't we put our hands together for the risen King?